tell you about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are looking into the first letter that Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth was a troubled church. They had some issues. And I believe they got most of them, or a lot of them, straightened out when he wrote the second letter. But they were apparently not a strong church in the Word of God, because they didn't understand a lot. We're really blessed that we are able to have in our hands the New Testament and the Old, but the New Testament is where the church goes, to be able to see things in God's view of how we are to do things and the things that we're supposed to believe and understand. But no belief and understanding of the Word of God is without God giving it to us by inspiration or revelation, however you want to look at it. I guess inspiration is the wrong word, revelation. A lot of people say, well, Paul, and he is kind of separating here human thinking and spiritual thinking, and that's what we're going to look at tonight with our first point. But if you go into chapter 3, which I read some last week in our introduction, verse 1, he said, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He's speaking here of the weakness of this church spiritually, but as unto cardinal. It means I can speak to you not of spiritual things, but cardinal ways of spiritual things, so that you can understand, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now he comes over here in chapter 2 and tells them in verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I come not with actually of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, Him crucified. So he's still speaking to the church in a very mild manner. He's speaking to them as babes in Christ. He's speaking to them as uneducated people. Now, we want to pick up in verse 6. In verse 6 he says, and this is where we start our message. I did an introduction on 1 through 5 and then to chapter 3 last week. So he says, how did we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, and yet not wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord's glory. Now, I assume by princes here, he's talking about the Jews, because they are the ones that directed the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion. They should have known that things they did not know. And the reason they did not know them is because God had not given them the grace to understand those things. God ordained everything. He had a plan for everything. And it wasn't their time to know things. It wasn't their time to understand. It still isn't their time. The Lord has set them to the side, and He uses Gentiles in the churches today. In verse 9 he says, as it's written, I have not seen, and nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them. that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God. I'm going to stop right there because of the sake of time. I want to preach this message. I'm going to just read this text. It's a long text. We're going to be a few weeks into this. Paul starts out in verse 6. He says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What is perfect wisdom? What is wisdom that is perfect? Wisdom, as we understand it, which is an understanding of God's word. You can have knowledge. You can have an understanding. But without wisdom, you're not going to understand the word of God. You can read it. You can read it. You can read it. You can memorize it. But until you grow enough as a Christian in your heart, in your spirit, to be able to understand and be able to grasp the true doctrines of the Word of God, you're never going to be complete. That's what perfect means. It means complete. So it's understanding the deeper things of God. It is apparent that this church had little of that, isn't it? Because Paul says in chapter 3, I went to them and preached Jesus Christ. I fed them with milk, and that's the milk of the word. Election is not the milk of the word. Predestination is not the milk of the word. The doctrines of the church is not the milk of the word. The milk of the word is the simplicity of the word. The simple things of God's word. So it's apparent that this church was learning on world wisdom, and the two do not mix. It is said in verse 2, verse 2, he said, brethren, and brethren, I came unto you not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That is, I came not with the excellent speech of this world. You know, some preachers they can get in the pulpit. And they can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. And all they're preaching about is things of this world. You know, the things of this world have nothing to do with the Word of God. The Word of God is not about Satan and his acts going on in this world. The things of God is worrying about God. It's worrying about Jesus. God controls all things in this world. Everything that happens is happening according to God's will, or they wouldn't be happening. The wisdom and understanding and knowledge that we grew up with in this world, we have to lose that when we become Christians to learn the Word of God. The two do not mix. Because fleshly thinking, fleshly ways, fleshly ideas is nothing to do with God. God turned all that around. God is completely different than what the world thinks, what the world believes. Paul said, among them that are perfect. The word perfect here means complete. Go to Job 1, if you will. Complete. That's who the Lord's talking about here in verse 6. How then we speak wisdom unto them that are complete in God's word. Now, we're about to have a Bible conference. And we got 7 men invited. I hope all 7 show up. If they don't, we'll use what the Lord gives us. We have 7 men invited. I guarantee you, they're not coming here to feed you with milk. Why not? One, God already knows that we can handle meat. Two, these preachers all know we can handle meat. So we preach more than the gospel. We preach here from this pulpit the deep things of God, do we not? Because we are complete. We are mature adults in Christ. We are mature adults. Most of us are what they call in James, in 1 John, where it's about a book of maturity, where he speaks of the babe, very youngest babies, and then the next generation of babies, and then the young men, and then the father. The fathers are the older ones, the more mature ones that are have done the battle in this world on the word of God, and they're simply helping the young men. The problem is, we don't have many young men anymore. So the old men still fight the fight, aren't we? You got pastors 90 years old, still trying to preach, still doing a pretty good job, some of them. Because we have to. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was a perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's what he was. That's what we are. Job wasn't more complete or perfect than we are. Job was a sinner saved by grace just like us. But Job understood God, didn't he? Job understood what God wanted. And not only did Job understand what God wanted, Job did what God wanted. That's when you show maturity. When you're able to decipher the things of God in His Word and able to do those things, to teach those things, and stand upon those things, no matter what happened. I preach from this pulpit, and it seems like you may be getting tired sometimes of how we walk in the Lord and stand in the Lord, because that's the greatest understanding we need today as Christians. Folks, we're fighting a large battle in this world. We're fighting homosexuality. We're fighting transgenderism. We're fighting our teachers teaching our children to be perverts. And I noticed the other day on Fox News, I think it's a teachers union that's now got a book in schools about something queer. I mean, when I grew up, that was like the N word. That was just a word that you did not say because you were a filthy person if you said such a thing. But our schools now have books about it, using the word in the title. These are our battles. But we had to avoid those things. That's what Job did. That's his cute evil. That's what we have to do. We have to stand clear of it. Stay away from it. We have to focus. We have Christians that are mature, Christians that are complete. They focus on the Lord. They don't focus on things in this world. They don't care what this family does or that family. What that family does, what this church does, what that's not what it's about. It's about us as a church, us as Christians, serving the Lord our God. Following along with the scriptures, not allowing the things of this world to interfere with what we're doing. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. I have a lot of scriptures. I may not get done with this point tonight. If I don't, that's fine. We're in no hurry. Lord comes, we can't make it next week, well, you know what, we won't need it. But look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to be deceived, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. That's it right there, folks. You don't need anything else to understand what a mature Christian is. That's the totality of it right there. Lock, stock, and barrel, as they say. When we come in the unity of faith, the knowledge of, not understanding knowledge of Jesus, but knowing Jesus Christ and his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection and what he does every day in our life. Not carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm getting reports from some preachers that a lot of sovereign grace people are falling. They're falling. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't scare me. I'm not inviting them here to preach. I'm not going to use any articles there, aren't you? In fact, the only article I'm using right now is Oscar Meek and Doyle Thomas. I cut everybody else off right now. They're both former pastors of this church, both with the Lord. Both of them have tons of stuff written. I can use paragraphs of their articles while I use them. Because I don't know a lot of them to trust anymore. They're getting in these groups and they're starting to get tossed to and fro. It's like dominoes. One falls, they all start falling. And the first wind I caught of this was Brother Keller when he told me, he said, Randy, I left Illinois. I stopped at a lot of churches. I mean, the man used to be a missionary. He knows where these churches are. He said, they're not there anymore, brother. He said, they're not believing the truth. A lot of them are falling away from the truth. Other preachers have told me about preachers I know personally today. It's sad. We have to grow up in the Lord and stay there. People are allowing this world to turn them. The churches are shrinking. The money is shrinking. And some of these preachers are worried. Why? Because they don't trust the Lord. Go to Matthew chapter 19. We have to listen to God. If we're going to be mature Christians, if we're going to be adults, if we're going to be complete, we got to have the knowledge, but we got to have the wisdom with the knowledge. Because the wisdom tells us what to do with that knowledge. I told you that before. In fact, we just preached on that. This rich young man in Matthew chapter 19 was lost. But I want to make a point out of this. In verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, complete, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. The Lord's telling him what a complete Christian is. He tells him, hey, you want to know what it's like to be a Christian? You want to know what it's like to be perfect, complete, and clean? You do what God tells you to do. And you walk in that. No matter what it costs you, no matter where it leads, you follow the road and you do what God tells you. Not what some preacher told you. Not what your mom and daddy or grandparents told you. Not what your siblings or family told you. Not what churches told you. But what God has told you. Preachers are human. We make errors. I make errors. We all do. We have to sometimes fend for ourselves and not allow ourselves to be washed away and tossed to and fro. Not allowed, as Paul wrote back in Ephesians, we just read, where they're carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness. Cunning craftiness, yeah. Satan's sly, isn't he? He is. He's a great deceiver. And he uses people to be great deceivers. So, Jesus told this young man, you want to be a complete Christian. You go and sell everything you got and you give it to the poor. What would you do if God told you that? Philippians chapter 3. Paul wrote to this church at Philippi these words in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12 through 15. He says in verse 12, something very important here, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or complete, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto you. The word apprehended means to lay hold of, so to possess as one's own. To possess it as though it's everything to you. It's your life. These things in the Word of God, if you're going to be a mature Christian, if you're going to be a complete Christian, you have to attain not to the parts of the Word of God you enjoy, not to the parts of the Word of God you think someone else ought to know, not to the parts of the Word of God you think might not be for us, but you got to own it all. If God said it, you gotta do it. If God said it, you gotta believe it. If God said it, you gotta recognize it as a commandment for each and every one of us. And if we do, it will be a commandment for this church. This church at Corinth had a long ways to go. So we. We have had a long road to get here, haven't we? But we're here. We're all grown up. We're all mature. We're all adults in Christ. This church does not need milk. It needs meat. Strong meat. Strong doctrine. So that we can keep growing and growing and growing and growing in the Lord. Paul went on to write, "You are not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that comes to naught." All that is naught. This right here, folks, is the only thing that means a thing. Right? Nothing, there's not a document or a voice in this world that means any more than this right here. Our maturity is not maturing as maturing in this world. Those are childish things. And the Lord told us to put childish things behind us. Nobody cares what this world says. We don't care what this world thinks. We don't care where this world's going. We know where they're going. I write it every day on Facebook. I get my 6 or 7 likes out of it. You know why I get 6 or 7 likes? People's embarrassed by it. They don't want their name liked on something that strong. That's not it, Brother Randy. Yeah, it is. It is. They're afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. A lot of other people are not afraid of it. But I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that sees what's going on among a lot of churches, a lot of Christians in this world, especially right here in the United States of America. One must conclude that the wisdom of this world comes to naught. It's worthless. I don't care what kind of education you have, and I don't care that I don't have much education. I can have a first grade education and still be a great preacher. I may not speak like the others. I may not be as intelligent as the others. I may stumble over some words. I may not even know what some of them mean. Sometimes preachers speak, and I had to, Brother Hammond used to speak in languages I had to go to get in a dictionary and look them up. God would have blessed me 30 years ago, he gave me a little old tablet to carry to church so I could look up the dictionary while he was preaching to understand what he was saying. Because I'm not a few hours from a PhD. See, that stuff don't matter. Some preacher didn't have any college at all, and wrote Bible courses that you use in universities today, used in seminaries today. In verse 13 of our text, Paul wrote these words. We'll get to it later. And now, I'm going to read for this tonight for this message. In verse 13 in our text, in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul wrote, "Which things also we speak," listen, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth. That's the wisdom we speak. So it don't matter what the world's language is, all that matters is what the Bible's language is. Man by nature does not teach anything of good about God. They simply do not. They teach you that God loves everybody. He doesn't. They teach you that God wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't. They teach you that it's a choice or decision. It isn't. They teach you that the church come out of the Catholic Church and they were all universal invisible church members. And it isn't. That's man's wisdom. That's not the wisdom of God. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Stop right there for a second. I know I'm trying to rush through this and get down. I can't pass this out. People that believe in works for salvation believe that the cross is foolishness. And that's everybody doesn't believe in faith and salvation. They believe in works for salvation. I don't care what kind of works it is. Works is not part of salvation. God said, not of works. And then God said over in Romans, I think it's chapter 11, if it's of works, it's not of grace. If it's of grace, it's not of works. I've had people to tell me, these certain religious people out there that call themselves Christians, so all you got to do is be saved and do nothing. That's not Baptist doctrine, is it? Are we supposed to not do anything? No. But James wrote that we'll show our faith by our works, won't we? He didn't say faith, he didn't say that works saved us. So he says here, preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The body of God with your perfect big old doctrine extension. Jim Nelson has a doctorate. Brother Hammond was a few hours short of a doctor. Both are very, very, very intelligent men. I couldn't hold a light to either one of them in knowledge. That don't mean I can't hold a light to them in Scripture. Second Corinthians 4. One cannot mature spiritually until we are biblically educated. Why? Because Satan has us blinded. You know that? Satan has us blinded. Look at verse 4. In whom the God, that is little g, that is Satan of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest or that not the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He does. He has them blinded. You can't remove the blinders. People can't unblind them. It's just like they're spiritually dead. They can't resurrect their own spirit. Dead people don't make themselves alive. If they did, those cemeteries would be empty. I was up for long with the Lord, they wouldn't come back. All them in hell would come back. Go back to our text, verse 14. People cannot by nature possess any wisdom of God or anything of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That sounds like preaching of the cross, doesn't it? Huh? They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned people are dead. And dead people do not learn, see, or hear anything of the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. I'm going to finish it. I'm almost done. There's some book 10 will be done. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 8, he says, for to be carnal, that is fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. Stop right there. You know what enmity means? It means hate. They hate God. Do they hate God? Yes, they do. You tell them that God is sovereign, they'll hate you because they don't believe that. And they'll tell you, I wouldn't worship a God that was sovereign. I wouldn't worship a God that elected people. And did not elect everybody. Everybody has to have a chance. Where's that in the Bible? That's what it's called grace. Because everybody don't have a chance. But God gave you that, didn't he? Amen. You're not enmity against God. You love God. You love God's word. You love walking in his word. Where it's not subject to the law of God, why not? Because neither they can be. How can a lost person be subject to the law of God? They already hate God. What else do they need? They think that Jesus Christ crucifixion was foolishness. What else do they need? And you're going to ask them to obey God's word? You're going to put the Ten Commandments up on a big courthouse and big old plaques like they're going to get it? They're going to spit on it. They're going to urinate on it. They're going to throw rotten eggs at it. They're going to tear it down and destroy it. Well, they hate God. Can't shove God down people's throats. They hate him. That'd be like shoving Hitler down our throats. Luke chapter 10, we'll finish with this passage of scripture. Now get me next week, I can move on with our next point. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Spiritual knowledge that makes us complete is a revelation from God. It doesn't just come to us. God gives it to us. It's hid from lost people in this world. That's Satan has them blinded, right? But it is revealed unto the babes of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. I'm sorry, I had to put that in. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. What? What? God hid them? Satan blinds their minds and God hides it from them. Even so, Father. For so that it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered to me from my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and whom and to whom the Son will reveal him. You'll never know the Father if you don't go through the Son. And he turned again unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see these things, which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. How blessed are we? The more you know about the Word of God, the more blessed we are. You know, there's Christians that don't understand one iota of the Scripture. They're just like this church at Corinth. If I preach to them, I can only preach milk. Because if I preach any meat, any strong doctrine, I'd run them off. They tune me out, if not crucify me for it. See? It's a revelation from God through Jesus Christ. It don't just come to you. You didn't just learn it. God gave it to you. Don't lose it. It's like crowns and rewards. God gave them to you. Don't lose them. You can. You can lose your doctrine. You can lose the truth. You can allow yourself to be tossed to and fro like a lot of churches and preachers have these days. We will continue next week with verse 7 as our second point.